I think this is what heaven's going to be like. Amen. Oh gosh, Jess, why don't we just finish out this way? Shep, I forgot about Shep. Shep, are you almost ready, Shep? Do you need a minute? Okay, all right, you're surrounded, right? Amen. Trevor just sent me a text from South Creek, and yes, it was on my watch. I wasn't checking my phone in church. Don't get me on that later. But Trevor just sent me a text because they're streaming and watching and participating with everything that's happening. So let's also say hello to the Creekers at South Creek. Hello, Creekers. Thanks for joining us. And he said the energy is coming through the screen. So what we're doing here, they're feeling it there. So glad you guys in South Creek are worshiping along with us in this way today. My goodness. I just love this. We have a special friend who's going to share the word of God with us today. A very special friend. Pastor Shep, we've known each other for roughly 5 years, give or take. I don't know exactly what it's been. When Pastor Shep was finishing up his education, he had to do an internship. And as he was doing that, he sought us out to do his internship here with us at then Watermark, now Revive. But he sought us out. And ever since then, we've been kindred spirits. He's part of our preaching team. He writes with us. He's here every Tuesday writing. That's incredible. And I just love this man. My family and I worshiped with him in his church a few weeks ago this summer, and we had a wonderful experience. And I'll tell you what, if you want, and pastors don't usually say go to other churches, right? I know I'm going on dangerous ground right now. But if you ever want to go down to his church at 9 a.m. on a Sunday, you'll have whoever wants to come, right? All right. Except that one over there. I don't know. Sorry if I pointed to you. I don't know who it was. But Shep, why don't you come on up? And let's welcome Shep as he comes on up here. Shep, you brought a bunch from your church here.
Yeah. Isn't that all right?
Yeah. They're all in.
Yeah, they ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Jessica singing another song, though. But I know.
Are you going to start singing in your message?
I want to sing so bad, but I'm not.
Go ahead. So if you guys would just welcome Shep. Listen to Shep, hear what the Lord says through Shep. We're in for a treat this morning. So Shep, I can't wait, brother. Here you go.
Thank you so much. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Father, we thank you for this time. We worship you. This is how we fight our battles. By staying connected to you, by longing to be with you. God, I pray that you will touch these lips of clay, that you will say what you want to say through me, for I recognize I'm just a vessel. And God, I want you to use me on this morning. And God, we thank you. We thank you for this space. We thank you for even this stage on this morning. We do not count it lightly to be here. So God, I pray that you'll honor this time by just continuing to pour out your spirit upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. We shall thank God. Amen. Amen. Just so that we know, one, I'm crazy. So I just want I want y'all to recognize that up front. You know, I don't want nobody to get scared. The second thing I want you to recognize is that I have a few members from our church with us, and they talk back. So I don't want nobody scared, you know what I'm saying? I want nobody, if you hear somebody jump up and say, I know that's right, don't get scared, it's just an expression of how we respond to the word of God. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. I don't What is it that you're afraid of? You know, what are you afraid of? Now, I understand that that is a perplex and a loaded question, because something that I might be afraid of, you know, you mean that ain't nothing. You know, I got one daughter here. She's scared of spiders. She tried to call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and say, "Daddy, can you come get the spider?" No, you're going to be a big girl and be strong in the Lord. I got another daughter. She's here as well, and she doesn't like thunder and lightning. And so she will still call, and even though she's in a building with a roof and lights and walls and everything, you know, she's still going to call me, because she don't like lightning and thundering. To us, it's nothing. To them, it's traumatizing. Yeah. Right. It's paralyzing. It's earth-shattering to them. And sometimes, because we live where we live and because we do what we do, guess what? It kills us, and it doesn't affect no one else. I took a friend. He's from AME Zion Church. Very, you know, hymn books and, you know, real, you know. And, you know, Jess was scaring me today because, you know, I was ready to go, Jess, you know what I'm saying? see, y'all just, you know, I believe in order and program and everything. But at that point, at New Direction, it's kind of, whatever y'all got in y'all system, whatever light about to come on next, it ain't going to work. Because we still sing, "I'm surrounded by you." Oh, God. Oh, God. Hey, New Direction. The next stop we make is going to go, we're going to go to South Creek. We're going to go to Trevor's Church, the South Creek Wesleyan Church. And we're going to go over there, Revive Church. And we're going, you think they let me cut up? Trevor, will you let me cut up over there too? Now you ask, see if he texts you. So watch this. People are scared. So I had my friend, and so I took him to a Friday night service. You know, we call that joy night, you know. Man, they was up there testifying. And the man that had the guitar, he was testifying, "Getting around to God who truly the head of my life. I thank God for being saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost." You know, and said he was playing the guitar. All of a sudden, he unhooks the guitar, swings it behind him, and take off running in the church. Now, and he's running around the church, and then by the time he got around the second time, it seemed like half the church was up. Now they're running around the church, and by the time he got down the third time, the entire church is up. Everybody's running around the church, and all my friends are there, and so from high school, and they're like, "Come on, Dre, come on." And I was like, "Yeah, I want to run." But I got my friend here, and he's looking at me, he said, "I'm scared as beep." So what may paralyze you with fear may not do anything for somebody else. We have to understand that. Even as I preach, you got to understand that long-term fear can manifest even through experiences. You know, I had an uncle, his name was Jake. Not Jake from State Farm, but his name was Jake. And he thought it was cool at the Youth Time Center. It's a Christian center downtown Buffalo that used to be in existence. And he thought it was cool to push me in the deep end of the pool, and said that's how he was going to teach me how to swim. Well, I still don't like water except to bathe. And I still can't swim. Putting someone in a traumatic, fearful event does not teach them something all the time. And for me, that was traumatizing. And so even on my honeymoon, after I got all the scuba gear on, me and my wife is got all the scuba gear. I says, "You know what? I can't do it." My wife said, "Come on, we pay for it. Baby, you go. I'll take pictures from the boat." She down there looking at jellyfish and the coral reef and all that stuff. I missed all that. I missed all that. Why? Because I was full of fear. And what are you missing out on because of fear? What has you paralyzed? What has you stuck? What is sitting in your life, sitting on your lap, sitting on your heart to where you can't move to where God wants you to move because of, I told you I got to talk back to me, church. Uh-huh. We ain't even got Lynette Noose yet. Watch this. For me, something traumatic happened this year, and my cousin is here who's the granddaughter of my aunt, Pearl, but on May 14th, there was a shooting at Tops Market on Jefferson Avenue in Buffalo, blocks away from my church. And that was traumatic for us. Yeah. It may not be traumatic for you. I know it may touch people. It's not as, it doesn't set in the same feeling as others. Some young guy that hates black people came down from central New York with the intentions of killing as many black people as he could. One of them was my aunt. Her granddaughter is here with us on today. And we thank God for healing. We thank God for the process. Yeah. But let me tell you something. You can't tell me that even though the media has left, even though it's not the catchy story, that it still does not play a part with some's everyday life. There are those that are sitting under the sound of my voice that something has happened in your life that you keep on pressing the replay button on every day, and you'll never be able to have victory over what you're scared of if you never face it. Somebody shout these words with me. I must face it, and I must face it. Some things you got to walk by faith and not by sight. So you got to just go at it. You just got to go and choke. I'm going to kill the devil. You know what I'm saying? You just, don't he slay me? You know, you just got to go after it. That's fearful. It's tragic. And it manifested because of hatred. Watch this. You got to recognize this. And I know that Revive was praying for me. Yeah. I wish I had that picture. My daughter didn't send it to me yet. I was still waiting on that one. I didn't know she had took it. She was sitting off in the corner taking a picture while Paul and who else was there? Keith and some of the youth pastors and Cable was there. It was about 10 or 11 pastors from this church that came to New Direction, held hands with me, and one by one, just took turns praying into my life, not just my life, the church life, not just my church, but my family, not just my family, but my community. So I want to thank you, not just for using your words, because some people, when you scared, they use their words. Uh-huh. God be with you. Uh-huh. God be with you. That's the easy part. But to walk alongside me, to continue to call, to continue to see what we're doing. Because of that, ministry was formed, and we started Operation Hope with about 15 different churches, Revive being one of them. Trevor was down on Jefferson Avenue. Him and his team helped serving. We literally served hot meals every day, Monday through Saturday, until they opened that store back up, because that area is a food desert, and so we could not allow. Let me tell you something. Sometimes scary things cause us to move in areas that we didn't know how we was going to pay for it. But we raised over $50,000 to feed thousands every day. If you sit in fear, you'll never accomplish anything. Somebody shout, fear won't win. Fear won't win. Told y'all. My friend Frank Andrew, New Direction knows him very well. We call him Frankie. Somebody shout, hey, Frankie. Hey, Frankie. He pastors a new church plant on the north side of Buffalo called the Garden Church. And listen to the words that he said the day after the shooting. He said, "How do I reconcile within myself that someone that looks like me came to Buffalo to kill someone that looks like my wife and kids? That my daughter is now going to walk the streets of Buffalo and now have to recognize that even though she has a white father, she's still going to be treated like a black girl. And on top of that, if they were at the store, his life would have been saved and his daughter and two daughters and wife would have been murdered." That's fear. But we can no longer allow fear to win. And the only way you conquer fear is with courage. Well, I'll give you Bible for it. I'll give you Bible for it. You know, y'all looking at me funny. See, some people are like my wife. You know, and a young girl, she's about to go into eighth grade. She came and shook my hand. She said, "You sound like my daddy." Because my wife packs everything. She went for an overnight retreat on Friday. Why did she have, you know, all you need is a little book bag. Why is she carrying a big old... What she got? You go to sleep and you wear one more outfit. Why do you have a... How many shoes you need, woman? Here y'all go, just in case. Y'all women know how to stick together, don't y'all? Watch what happens. Now, if I'm packing, I just throw anything in there, and anything, watch this, that I miss, guess what? That's what they made a Walmart for. It's a heavenly place. It's a godly place. It's a divine place. And whatever I need, Walmart got it. She taking coffee makers, steam. See, now we're not talking about just the negative fear. You know, some stuff is healthy. You know, if there's ice on the road and I literally am at the place to where I begin to slow down for fear that I can get in an accident, that's healthy fear. You know, I got some family members and friends that have lost limbs and are now blind because of diabetes. That's enough to have me have some fear that I went from a non-compliant patient to a very compliant patient. When I'm supposed to see you again? When you go to the doctor, I didn't know at first that you're supposed to take your socks off. So then I asked the next time, I said, "Hey, I've been coming here for about 3 or 4 times and you never looked at my feet." I never saw that the sign said, if you want us to check your feet, you got to take your socks off. I didn't know that. So now I'll come in, I just strip. Check everything. Check my feet. Check how my back look. You know, I don't know. I need you to check it. Watch this, because it does that. So now watch what, if I fear God in a healthy way, I approach him with reverence. The fear of God is the beginning of a wise life. See, if you haven't guessed by now, we're talking about fear. Y'all smart. Gold star. Watch this. So now how does David handle this? See, David had fear. David was a shepherd and he had to deal with lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, lions and tigers and bears. He had to deal with lions. And watch this. And so the first night that he goes and he's a shepherd boy, you know what I'm saying? He punched in the clock the first time. You know, it could have been me. Trevor already noticed. I'm not a camper. I'm not hiking. I ain't doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? Take me to the hotel. Air conditioned, fluffy pillows, you know what I'm saying? Flip the mattress, all that stuff. Listen, the first time I would have heard, listen, I'm going to the car. I lock the windows, lock the doors. I'm not the outdoorsy person. So here's David being a shepherd, hearing noises. How did he handle it? How did he handle it? Well, we found out how he handled it when we start to see how David was confronted by the king who was saying, I know you want to fight Goliath, but you can't do it. Let me tell you something. I'm dropping this for free. I ain't going to charge you nothing for this one. Let me tell you something. Somebody will always tell you that you can't do something after you got the courage to go step out and do it. As soon as you say, I can do it, that's when the enemy comes and tell you you can't. That's when somebody on us, I'm going to start a business. You can't start no business. It's a pandemic. You can't start a business. They already got coffee shots, but their coffee ain't like my coffee. And so I'm about to go start this coffee business because I got a dream that, am I making sense on this morning? So you cannot allow people. So here we find in the text on today. Watch what happens. The Bible says that even though, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Is my time up yet? For thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, we understand that in the biblical traditions, in the Holy Land, that this was an actual valley. That this dark valley was a place that was a shortcut, but it was also a dangerous place to go. So yea, though, David is saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, death is near. They're here to rob. Some even believe that this was the same valley where Jesus is referring to when he talks about the good shepherd. No, I'm sorry, the good Samaritan. So we recognize that there's fear, but he says, yea, though I walk. You got to understand. Is that you got to have the I will fear no evil afterwards. Why? Because he's walking in the shadow of death. So in order to say that I'm walking, that means I even though I might have some fear, I'm still walking. I was at one of them haunted house things. I ain't been to one since. Me and my wife been married almost 20. Well, I'm paying somebody to scare me. The devil is a liar. Uh-huh. And the truth ain't in them. So I'm in there, Paul, and I'm in there, and they told me nothing was going to touch me, that the people wasn't going to. They touched me. They touched me. Paul, did you hear me? They touched me. Ah! Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Stop. Turn some lights on. Something touch me. Get me out of here. No, I'm getting out. If you just keep on walking, follow the red dot. I'm not following no dot. Somebody come get me. Something touched me. I'm shutting this whole thing down. Y'all know I ain't playing too. Y'all know I told y'all in the beginning that I was crazy, wasn't I? Did I tell y'all? I forewarned you. Okay, good. Understand this. David had fear. Yeah. He started with fear, but watch this. He kept going. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse 32 through 37. It says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able. I'm tired of people telling me what I can't do. Now I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. I got scripture. I got to keep going. And he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Watch Saul's response. Go. The Lord be with you. You got to understand something. The Lord who gave us this courage will give us courage today. Watch this. The reason why you should have courage when you're facing something that may be uncomfortable and cause fear is because you have history with God. I wish I had somebody shout, I got history with God. Watch this. Ty Trippett got a song that says, if he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. If he was healing the sick and raising the dead, then there's nothing too hard for God. If you need a healing, somebody said over here that they needed a healing. I come to decree and declare over your life, you can't have a healer. God still works miracles. I'm sorry, I ain't got a happy man. Watch what he says in 1 Samuel 17:45. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. He said, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. He didn't get no angel to say they was going to do it. He didn't get no burning bush. He didn't get no cock to crow. He didn't get none of that. He felt within his spirit. It rose up in him and said, if God can help me and provide for me and keep me with the lion and tigers and bears, oh my, then this Philistine is going down. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear, but that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all that is in your hands. Watch this. You got to understand. Somebody write this down real quick if you take notes. Our reaction to fear. How are you going to react? How are you going to react to fear? See, you got to learn to face small fears with God. You got to know him better and then trust him more. All right. Say it again for the ones in the back. Can you hear me? Me. Watch this. Face your small fears with God. You got to know him better and then trust him more. Watch this. I got Bible for it. It says we glory in tribulation. Yeah. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Wait a second. I needed tribulation. Watch this. And it produced patience. And then once I had patience, it produced what? Hope. I'm in the wrong church today. Come on, that was for Keith. Keith told me to make sure I said I was in the wrong church today. Watch this. I'm in the right church because somebody needs to know that what you go through today only builds your courage and your confidence. It's giving you history so that you may be able to face what's coming tomorrow. You're learning something today in your storm. Somebody write this down. Take a picture of it. Come on, watch this. Your storm is your classroom. You learn who God is in your storm. You learn how good he is, how merciful he is. Watch this. I never knew God as a healer until I got sick. I never knew God as a provider until I needed him. I never knew God as a protector until I was under attack. And I never knew God as a savior until I recognized I was lost. When I recognized I was lost, I knew I needed God as a savior. Y'all sit down. I can't hit that gear today. The source of our courage is God's presence in our lives. God is here with me, near me, and beside me. He with me. Man, I got to get out of here. He with me. Don't tell me that. He with me. He with me. The old lady came back to church. She had cancer and was out of church for about 2 years. She came back to the church and she asked the usher, can you go ask the organist, can he play a little Andy for me? He said, play a little Andy. The mother said, can you play a little Andy? He said, I don't know no song named Andy. Went back and said, he don't know no song named Andy. He said, don't know the song. So she went down and says, Excuse me, organist. Can you play Andy? He said, I don't know that song, Mother. He said, bring your ear down. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he... And he walks with me. And David could recognize that I don't have to fear because the Lord is with me. My time is up. He protects us. Somebody say he protects us. He guides us. He rescues us. And then we got to recognize this, that the presence of God gives us courage because God is with me. Because God is with me. I told him at the 9 o'clock service that I remember vividly being in a situation where I was being bullied by three guys and I kept backing up, begging for my life. No, y'all want none. I can't fight. I don't want no stuff. I don't want none of this. Mm-mm, come on. Don't bother me. I don't want no problem. Just trying to get to McDonald's. You know, just want me a burger. Just leave me alone. Come on, I'll buy you a sandwich. Come on. But all of a sudden, I saw my big brother. He came around that corner. Oh, I started talking junk. You ain't going to do nothing. Let me tell you, now I'm all up in the enemy face. When you know that God is with you, you don't have to walk in fear. You can be bold with God. I'm done. The presence of God gives us courage. That courage is to overcome our fears. May 14th was scary, but so many beautiful things happened because of it. Ministries came together. People were fed. People were loved on. And a few weeks ago, the store opened back up. In a place that's considered a food desert, it opened back up. So I come to tell somebody, I have to quit. No, don't do that to me today, baby. In a place where there's a food desert, that store needed to be reopened. Yeah. I know that a lot of people feel differently about it. Yeah. But let me tell you something. We triumph. If we close, the enemy wins. The fact that all of you here today is letting the Lord know that you're still winning. Because it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by. It may look like you're defeated, but I have victory. I have victory in you. It may look like I lost, but I'm really a winner. God knows how to turn that thing around. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Father, we thank you. We have victory in this. David understood courage so that he might be able to move, killing his giants. And there's someone right now that has giants in their life that they may be fearful to face. But God, we're going to stand up against the enemy. And today, we're going to say, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Somebody decree and declare over their life, fear will not win. Come on, say it again. Fear will not win. I ain't scared. I used to be. But now, coming out of COVID and the church is stronger. Not maybe the attendance can be down, but the Lord has met every financial need. We're still giving to others. We're still blessing other churches. We don't have the large church, but we have a large heart. Can I tell you something? If your heart wasn't checked, then watch what ends up happening. You missed it. Because we're better at after the storm. We're stronger after the storm. How many people recognize that I'm better after? That it was a purpose for this storm. It was a purpose for this battle. You didn't know how strong you were until you went through what you went through. I'm sorry. I'm not at Fillmore and Winslow. I'm not at Fillmore and Winslow. So, Jesus in the garden looked at what was going to happen and says, Lord, I wish you'd take this cup. Take it away, Lord. Let it pass. He said, but nevertheless. That's where we all have to be. That we see the cross we must bear and still say, hey, Kaya, I thought you was gone, baby. Nevertheless. And so watch what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that if we drink this bread and eat of this cup and have not asked God for forgiveness, we drink of damnation. And the Bible goes on to say that many, many are sick and sleep. Sleep in the Bible means that you sleep. That long sleep, that long nap till Jesus comes. So we always ask God to forgive us. Father, forgive us. Wash us over again. In your precious blood, Lord, would you wash us over again? Forgive us of the things we said, thought, did, that was not pleasing to you. And God, if we hurt anyone, help us to go back and reconcile with our brothers and sisters. That not only are we in right relationship with you, but we're in right relationship with our brothers and sisters. Help us to be more neighborly. Help us to be more loving. In Jesus' name, amen. Then the Bible goes on to say that that same night, if you haven't already received, there's ushers walking around with the elements you can receive. The Bible says, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he blessed it, and he broke it. Y'all see it? And when he gave given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is the body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. He took the cup in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat bread, this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore? So till he come. Paul, Pastor Paul, the right reverend, Reverend Doctor, he's going to come.
It's only fitting that on a day when we're gathered like this that we celebrate communion. Mm-hmm. Christians over the centuries have done what we're about to do, where they gather around the table, where everybody is welcome. Where everybody's welcome, and it encourages us and shows us that we're part of the same body. That Jesus started this centuries ago, and yes, we walk in that same tradition today, celebrating communion until he comes again. So if you would take the bread, and this is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you. Preserve your soul and body into everlasting life. Take and eat this, remembering Christ's sacrifice for you, and be grateful. Take and eat. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you on a rough and rugged Roman cross. Take and drink this, remembering Christ's sacrifice for you, his painful sacrifice for each and every one of us. Take and drink and be grateful. Let's pray. Jesus, if there was ever somebody who should have been fearful, it was probably you. On the night you were betrayed, you knew what was coming. In the garden, even as you cried, it was like tears of drops of blood fell from your brow. You knew it was coming, and you stepped into it anyway, because you understood that we needed you to act in such a way. We needed to understand and receive the gift of salvation that only you could offer. And Father, we thank you that you sent your Son. And Jesus, we thank you that you laid your life down. Father, I pray that each and every one of us, as we go today, we will go knowing that we're walking with you, that you're right there by our side, that your arm is around us, that every step we take, you are right there with us. Help us not to fear, but to be sold out for you each and every day of our lives. God, we thank you for times like this where we can worship and learn and grow together. And Father, as we wrap up this service with just one more song, Father, I pray that you would be in this space and we would sense your Holy Spirit's presence, and that as we sing, it would be as if we're standing right in front of you this morning, offering our hearts to you. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for your Son's sacrifice. And we thank you that we can walk with you for eternity. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The band's going to lead us in one more song. Please sing out with your whole heart and hear what the Lord has for us this morning.